Let's get started. We'll start the meeting of Public Works, October 2nd. It is 6:15. Oh, that clock's gone. You will please rise for the Pledge to Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I will take a motion for, should we combine them both?
Sure.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes of September 4th and 17th. September 17th.
Thank you. I'll second. Any changes, comments, amendments? No? All right, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. With that, we have invited members from the Ulster County Agricultural Society to speak to us about the county fairgrounds. I'll recognize John Fitzpatrick and Jenny Lang.
Thank you.
Can you just pass this?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'm president of the Ulster County Agricultural Society. Jenny Lang is vice president. So what we wanted to do was just come and talk about the lease, the license agreement situation that we're in. So it's going to be expiring here at the end of December for 2019. Previously, we had a five-year license agreement, expired the end of 17. We had a one-year extension through 18, and then this is our second, you know, our one-year extension through 19. So what we're asking for is a five-year rolling lease, and I know there's plans that have been discussed about, you know, doing some changes to this license agreement. So what we're looking for really is a rolling five-year license agreement. What that does is it gives us a known five-year period of time to plan, make capital improvements, things like that. And by having a rolling license agreement, it can be structured many different ways, I guess, but what I'm thinking of is every year it comes up for discussion. The terms of the license agreement come up for discussion. And as long as both sides agree on that, it pushes it out another 5 years. If both sides don't agree, then that gives us 4 years, right? Because we've already gone through the 1 year, the first year of the license agreement. It gives us 4 years to not do any more capital improvements, build funds, and find a new place to relocate the fairgrounds in case we have to do something like that. So, you know, we've put $1 million into the real estate in the past 11 years, and that's not ours anymore, right? So the assets, all the assets that were for the Ulster County Ag Society now become an asset to the county and whatever the value of the buildings are on that real estate. So that, we know, it's gone. It's not ours anymore. But if we have to move, we don't have sufficient funds to, you know, do really any kind of infrastructure if we only have a year to get out, right? So by having 4 years, 5 years, and from the whole term standpoint, that gives us time to build funds if we have to relocate. So we're looking at it from a business standpoint. You know, we feel that, you know, we're there, probably won't ever leave, but unless something's in writing, we don't know what that would be. You know, we don't know whether we would leave or not. So we're asking for more time if we ever have to relocate. We feel that that gives us time. And we feel that we've committed to the fairgrounds, we've put a lot into it, and you know, we feel we've earned something longer than what we have right now, so.
Have you ever provided, or has it ever been provided to you, a plan for the fairgrounds? I mean, you've made substantial changes. Obviously, it's similar to a triple net lease, so when you go, you don't take anything with you. You do substantial upgrades to the property, and then that, you know, I don't want to say it's your loss because you're doing a great job out there, but have you ever had that interaction, or has it ever been put in the contract?
A plan
for upgrades or changes, or, you know, basically a research and development plan.
I'll say no, because the way that the prior license agreement was written didn't really allow for input from the county to determine capital improvements, which I think has led to some of the dissatisfaction of our public works department as far as some of the upkeep. I mean, there's been a lot of good, positive improvements, certain buildings, but like we have no say in whether a new building is going to be built. We don't have any say in that, and it's one thing that I know one of the reasons we haven't done another 5-year lease right now is because we're really looking at that, and we've talked to some members of leadership about what the plan is going forward. And any license agreement, we would like to include something that says we have some authority over a 5-year capital plan.
Legislator Litz?
I mean, to operate any business, especially a business like this, a 1-year plan doesn't work, because you're working on next year's fair before this fair takes place. And it's not only the fair, they have Taste of New Paltz, they have all of these other events that go on. And I don't see a problem where both parties sit down and work on a capital plan for 5 years. But to have the owner say, I want to build a 200 by 400 foot building over here and you pay for it, I don't think is fair.
Chairwoman, okay. Legislator Nolan?
Well, I think the exact opposite of what you just said, Legislator Litz, is where we've been operating, which is that the Agriculture Society has been the one to say we're going to build the building.
Mm-hmm.
And so either of those extremes, I think, really is not a good partnership. And I understand the difficulty of a 1-year permit or license for planning, and I think we need, that's not good either. But we need something that gives a sense of where the fairgrounds are going. And I think we're also talking in other committees about ways to make it possible for other ideas to come in and potentially to have a choice among different directions that we might go. So if there are ways that we can structure things that achieve all those ends, that would be the best. And so I think we're in October, so we need to do something. But maybe we can at least sketch out the shared goals and agree that, I did look at the materials in which this $1 million investment is detailed, and some of that, the way that is presented, it strikes me that some of the what's being counted there is not direct monetary or capital benefit to the county. So it's still substantial. I don't think
a lot of it's lost capital.
Right.
Once you put that money into you convert the cash to a building, you've lost a lot of capital.
Yeah. So I would like to see this in a better place going forward, and the use of a shorter term license has been a way to try to force that, but it hasn't happened. So let's try to figure out what we can do that will be fair to the current vendor and set up that better process is what I suggest. And I'm not sure that a legislative committee is the place to do that. It's probably the place to start the discussion and then put some elbow grease behind bringing forward maybe some alternatives for discussion, alternative ways of structuring the relationship. I don't think it would have necessarily been a hardship for the Ag Society to have presented plans to the county before proceeding. And then what you get is either modified or acceptable to the county. Whereas if it just happens, then it doesn't have the same feeling in terms of, oh, we've benefited.
I think we've always done that. I mean, any improvements that we've done to the fairgrounds have always been, and Gary gets much more involved in that than we do, so I don't know exactly. But I know he's always getting approval for things that are done, at least from a building permit standpoint. Mm-hmm. So any improvements that are done to the fairgrounds, they need a building permit. And maybe that's a part of the county that just bypasses everything here, and then that's where we need some improvement on. But I've always looked at that as our approval. Here's our plan. Here's what we're looking to do. We're going to put a new poultry building in. We're going to put a pavilion on, things like that. And I always assumed that it went through an approval process with the county here, more so than just a permit standpoint.
I have that same understanding.
Yeah.
It is presented to us as a board that it's been submitted to the county for approval. We're waiting for approval, and then once it's approved, it goes forward.
Yeah.
So,
Chairwoman Bartels, and then Legislator Litz.
Yeah, I mean, I could be corrected if I'm wrong, but I think probably it's just gone through a regular permitting process and received permitting approval. I mean, I think it's unworkable for you to operate under a 1-year lease, and I think to a certain degree, to a really large degree, it's on us that we failed over these two one-year cycles.
Exactly.
To actually address the issue, because you know, we've heard some suggestions at the table of, okay, maybe we can have an alternate, which I think are all great suggestions, but we haven't really done this before. We haven't all sat down, and even starting just with the legislature, with interested legislators and interested members of the executive staff saying, okay, what do we want to see in the future of an agreement? What do we want to see in the future of the fairgrounds? Let's brainstorm the best vision. Let's bring in the Ag Society to talk about that. Let's talk about what we want to see in a contract. We just haven't done it, and maybe that's partially a function of time getting away from us, and then it's October, and then you have 3 months, and then we're back up against a wall, and then we say, oh my gosh, we're not ready. We didn't do what we needed to do. So another 1 year. That's not that's really not workable. So my first takeaway is that we have to switch into high gear to have this conversation about what our vision is, and then we also need to sit down and bring in the Ag Society to talk to us and to communicate what we're thinking and how, because I personally don't think it's just about how we structure the agreement over an approval process over an individual building. Like, I've heard all kinds of ideas floated, but they're always floated in this ad hoc way around a table when it's a late conversation. So, I mean, I'm hoping that this conversation at this committee is the first in a series of pretty quick, we're going to need to pretty quickly schedule getting together, getting interested people together, getting together with you all, talking about what we envision the future, what we envision the agreement about, what's the backstory. I know there's been some tension over the years potentially, but putting all that behind us, we have a new administration. We're always a changing legislature, and I think if we all just step forward with good faith and we talk about what we want to see, we'll be in a good place. But we are up against a clock, because we understand the pressure you're up against with signing contracts,
et cetera. Just for the near term.
The concept of a roll, I don't know that I fully understand what the concept of a rolling agreement means, in that if we both have to agree, but we don't agree, so we stick with the one term that lasts us the 5 years, I feel like we actually owe it to ourselves and each other and to the county to just have the conversation about, are there any deficiencies? Are there any changes? What do we want to see? And then have the conversation with you all and go from there. I mean, that's my thought, because I know that I was someone who said when the first 1-year agreement came, we need to get past this 1-year agreement. But I also admit I haven't been a part of a conversation about a longer agreement in that interim. You know, other things pop to the top of the pile, and right now that's not fair. We have to make this a priority. That's my take.
Yeah, it's the same conversation we had in the meeting before, I think. Legislator Litz?
Well, Chairwoman Bartel stole most of my comments and thoughts, but it needs to be a collaborative process. The Ag Society runs the fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's their business. So they need to take a lead role in this, and I believe we all need to be part of this conversation. But I don't walk into my doctor's office and tell him how to treat me. I go there, he assesses the situation, and then he treats me. So they need to be in control. And it's a collaborative process.
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay.
I think it's a little different than walking into a doctor's office. It's a license to operate the fairgrounds, which is in this county, county owned. In Dutchess County, the Ag Society owns their fairgrounds. And yes, the Ag Society will always run the fair, but I think what needs to have a discussion is whether the Ag Society will always run the fairgrounds year round. That's why I think that it is a little different than, yes, they are in the fair business, mm-hmm. but there are other places that have other entities operating their facilities year round for other events. And so I think there needs to be a discussion on what the county legislature, in conjunction with the county executive's office, wants to do with those fairgrounds. Now, Orange County, I know, went too far the other way, and their Ag Society doesn't want mm-hmm. anything to do with the fair and the fairgrounds because it's been too commercialized. And mm-hmm. I don't, obviously, that's not something that we want to do either. But I think, you know, we have to decide whether we're going to lean in and really want to help manage the other year-round events, or whether we want to continue having the Ag Society manage the property year-round. Mm-hmm. That should be a discussion okay. that's had in the next
yeah,
near future.
I agree with what's been said, that it's got to be a partnership, and like I talked to Tracy before about long-time goals for the fairgrounds, and both parties should be involved with that. But my main concern right now is that we might have to put those discussions a little bit on a back burner and try to move forward to get a contract for these people. It's October. I know for a fact they have 20 events that's dangling in the air, and they can't make a move because they don't have a contract. And my concern is if we can move forward with a contract for now, and then when that's done, start the ball with the other discussions and move on from there.
I agree with everything that's been said so far and really have a lot of respect for what we have done with the fairgrounds over time. But so maybe what would serve, I'll just put this out there as a starting point for discussion, is to think in terms of potentially a two-year license that would be non-exclusive, and not because we have any plans for anything else right now, but because we don't have what would be the third element here, which is that the Ag Society submit a plan for a three-year or a five-year longer term, that, you know, we, if we're not locked into exclusivity, then we, you know, then we can have a more robust conversations. And yet at the same time, there may be reasons that I don't know yet that exclusivity is really important to the Ag Society, and so that, but that hasn't been submitted to us. You know, we have a very good idea of what we've accomplished so far, but I don't think we've asked you or anyone else to think in terms of, oh, what should we be doing there going forward in light of how a lot of fairgrounds across the country are changing, some for the good and some not so much for the good. And I don't know whether the legislature or the executive's office, whether we should be doing some other kind of study of the fairgrounds and what we're doing there, but it seems to me we could at least start by asking those who are there to tell us what their thinking is going forward. And
right,
if it
right.
turns out to be really beautiful,
yep.
then maybe our work is done.
Right.
If it turns out that it doesn't seem like it quite captures what the community is asking of us, then we can talk about it. And if we don't build in the exclusivity, then it might allow us to test a few things and see how that goes from your perspective and from the county's perspective.
Can I
yes.
ask, what does that mean, non-exclusive? I mean, does it mean that we sign a two-year contract that allows the Ag Society to operate all the events that they choose to operate, but that if there was a different event to be operated by someone else, it would be allowed? I'm just
yeah, that's
what mm-hmm. exactly.
I think that is what I was imagining, because it seems to me like the Ag Society's events are, even though there might be some variability, they tend to be the same kinds of events at the same seasons each year. If I'm wrong on that, then maybe this wouldn't work. But if that's laid out kind of as the foundation, then we could look to see if there are some places where those who have been pushing for some other types of activities, if they bring that forward, then we would have the ability to try that without having to say, you know, you don't have a license anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
May I clarify something?
Because I think it buys us time. That's what you're basically
saying.
That's what
I'm trying to do.
That 2 years buys us time to get the new
right
director.
You probably have the same question I do. Go ahead.
Well, can I ask you a question on this?
Yeah.
So, do you... Well, first of all, I'm just not... And we can get into the... We probably shouldn't get too far into the weeds.
Right.
I'm not sure what it would look like if you had a contract to operate events, not exclusively, and then if someone else was gonna run an event, like who actually would be running and who would be responsible
mm-hmm,
for the
perfect.
Property, because ultimately someone's got to be responsible mm-hmm. for the property, and that's in part what I imagine is in the contract with you. But my question is, do you turn away a lot of events every year? Like
so
you get requests.
Right.
What I was
going to clarify
yeah.
is that Gary had discussed this with us before because he couldn't be here today. And so over time, it had sort of fallen to him as the fair manager. He's an employee of the Ag Society. He manages the fair, but he also is managing the grounds. And so it's fallen to him to manage these other
mm-hmm.
events
mm-hmm.
because they are on the fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So the call comes in, and then there's a huge calendar for the year, basically,
mm-hmm.
with all of the events. And a lot of these events are contracted however many years out. So like Ribfest and
wow.
Taste of New Paltz and all of these
mm-hmm.
things, they have secured their dates because they want to keep that same weekend moving forward. And I know this from working at Cooperative Extension when we were having the Harvest Festival. It was very hard to find a weekend
well,
that we could commit, that the fairgrounds wasn't already committed
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
moving forward and
mm-hmm.
that would potentially be available year after year. So, you know, these events aren't just fly by night, you call and I want to use the fairgrounds this weekend. Everything is well planned out, and it's a well-oiled machine at this point because Gary's been doing it for so long and the other staff in the office. It's all very well laid out. So I think it would be very difficult to have two chiefs.
Multiple,
mm-hmm.
yes.
But if I wanted to come to you and we wanted to do a pollinator expo and have butterfly and bee
mm-hmm.
specialists come in, or if we wanted to do a home improvement, and so we could schedule something that through
absolutely.
The Ag Society
yes,
that wasn't
absolutely.
On one of those
oh,
scheduled
absolutely.
Dates.
Yeah, if it wasn't
okay.
conflicting with another event.
And
yeah.
many times, you know, there could be a horse event happening on the horse side of the ring
mm-hmm.
and another event happening in the youth building that has nothing to do with each other. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's, so there are often multiple things happening on the fairgrounds at the same time.
I don't know who put their hand up first.
I only have one more question
okay.
for you. Do you think that the Ag Society would ever come to the conclusion that they would just want to host a fair and not, I mean, do you ever think that without being involved in anything else, just doing the fair?
It fell to Gary years ago, and I don't know the exact how that happened, but it used to be that the fair manager only managed the fair itself.
Yeah.
And then the county was in charge of any other events that happened.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where the county said, hey, fair manager, we'd really like you to do all of it. That's how I understand it anyway. Because it just got so tedious with all the chiefs, like Jenny was saying. So it all fell to the fair manager to run the entire fairground.
Okay.
We wouldn't be adverse
yeah.
to it, but it would be, I think it'd be a tricky situation. I think
okay.
it worked well
yeah.
by moving it all to one person in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Not to mention that we have such a knowledge of the grounds, the buildings, what the proper uses are for each building,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, you know, it would be interesting to see what would it would look like if there was somebody else running events throughout the year and we only had the fair.
Yeah.
But I think that the main thing is that we're here because we're committed to the fair,
right,
and
yeah.
to the county, and would like to see a better partnership happen. That's the end goal here.
I'm sorry, Legislator Litz.
You say that like Ribfest, Taste of New Paltz, those annual things are contracted out every year
in advance,
but you don't have a contract past the end of this year. How can you honor those contracts?
I think it's a set date that they have. So I believe it's an annual contract that has to be signed, but that date is reserved every year for those,
right.
those following.
So you haven't signed the contract for 2020 yet.
Correct.
It's just
right.
A date
everything
set aside.
Is pending.
The date's reserved.
So which is another reason why it's very difficult to operate, manage, if you only have 1 year or 2 year contracts.
You really need
to have something more than that,
right.
So that you can run this efficiently and without a glitch.
Deputy Reiner.
I don't think anybody disputes, including the executive's office, that really a 5-year license agreement is ideal. I'm not sure about a rolling license agreement. I think the only question is whether it's we're ready to do that this year. And I think we do owe it to the Ag Society to come up with something quickly, but like Legislator Nolan said, there may be, and I have been contacted by other, you know, groups that would like to have an opportunity to manage or potentially, so I think we do need to decide something relatively fast. It may be that, you know, the best option is to do an RFP, have the Ag Society send in a proposal, and then go from there, talking about a multi-year.
Legislator Nolan.
So the thing that doesn't seem to happen now that seems like it might be valuable is if Ulster County wants to have some kind of event on the Ulster County Fairgrounds, so then we have to go through the Agricultural Society and the Fairgrounds manager. And while honoring those repetitive events is important, it seems like part of the constraint is that there's no places in the calendar for other things that might come from other sources, other constituents who want to use that site. So I think that if we're going to try to have a longer term license, it either needs to be under an RFP type of process, or it should build in some sort of process by which both the buildings and the events are done with a little more collaboration. Because if it can become, you know, as it comes to me just sitting on this committee, it feels sort of like somebody is using the county property and doing these things, and we don't know about them until the calendar comes to us. And at that point, it might be too late if we wanted something else in the calendar in February.
Well, and that's where that distinction comes in of having a license agreement and putting the control of the fairgrounds into one entity, which right now is the Ag Society.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a mutual agreement where, yeah, we're giving up control of the fairgrounds year to year or 5 years or whatever it is, and then you do with it, right, in return for payment, in return for capital improvements, things like that,
mm-hmm.
then you're in charge of those fairgrounds. And it's a bit unique, too. Well, number one, we'd hate to see an RFP. We've obviously put $1 million into the property over the years, and we hate to see this property being taken care of by some other entity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a board of 17 people, we're volunteers, we're all very involved in the fairgrounds, and we worked hard to get the fairgrounds where it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we'd hate to see an RFP come into place. That's number one, and I think I forgot my second one. Oh, no, mm-hmm. But it's a unique situation too. I think there's only 4 other fairgrounds in the state where the Ag Society does not own the fairgrounds. All right, there's only 4 others. I think there's 60, 50-something different fairgrounds. So the partnership is a little bit tricky because if we own the ground, we're doing what we want to do with it, and we're planning it the way we feel as an Ag Society, knowing what we know about how a county fair works. We're planning it in the right way. You know, we're the ones that are doing that. So it is unique. We don't own it. Ideally, we had a 99-year lease, and we control the fairgrounds forever. And that's what makes these other fairgrounds work. Washington County is a good example of that. You know, they own the fairgrounds, they get loans for buildings if they have to, they put a lot into it, and they structure it the way a county fair should be run. So this is unique, what we're in right now.
Yeah.
Chairwoman Bartel.
I had another comment, but this just got me thinking of a question. Do you feel, or have you found in the past, that the nature of the relationship has constrained your ability as it relates to the fair itself?
this would probably be the first year that it happened. I think I don't know of any other years. No, I don't think it has that I'm aware of. Gary would be the best one to answer that because he's more directly involved with everybody. I don't think so.
Well,
do you know?
Other than by not having a long term agreement for a period of time now, I think that you had said that, you know, we're planning next year's fair before this year's fair. You know, I mean, so all of these cogs are working, you know, long before the actual event takes place. So with everything being up in the air of not having, you know, our lease agreement's over in December, we need to have booked our vendors for the fair, you know, at the last fair. And, you know, when we can't say, well, we're going to be there or not, you know, and ideally we would love to be there. I mean, we obviously care greatly for the grounds and for the distinction of being, you know, in that spot. People understand it. They know that that's where the Ulster County Fair is. And I think if I can address you, Legislator Nolan, but you were saying something about being able to utilize the grounds more, but there's all of these dates that are already spoken for. And I understand that, but if you look at it from the public's view, the public doesn't see it as the Ulster County Fair or the Ulster County Ag Society. They view it as Ulster County. This is an Ulster County event. It's happening in Ulster County on the Ulster County Fairgrounds. So it's not ours. We are just managing. And so I don't think that we're, by us managing those dates, I don't think that it's taking anything away from the county. I think it's giving the county a great reputation of hosting all of these events, bringing a lot of people in, you know, in turn supporting local vendors, supporting local, you know, businesses in New Paltz, et cetera. So I don't think that we've taken away from the county in terms of usage.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree.
Yes.
So to just follow up on that, are there any types of events that you have declined that have come to you with the request?
I can't answer that.
That would be a Gary question.
But
I don't think so.
If there's ever anything in question, he will bring that to the Ag Society and say, so and so wants to have an event, but, you know, whatever, you know, there could be all of these other reasons why not to do it. But I other than if a date isn't available, I don't think that things get turned away as long as they're appropriate.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any. Yeah.
Right.
What counts as appropriate?
An appropriate use of the grounds. I mean, you wouldn't have a for example, we can't have a demolition derby because our main area for a demolition derby is also used for horses.
Right.
So that would be inappropriate because it would
destroy
for one person.
Uses.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or incompatible uses.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I thought I heard earlier that you scheduled 20 events for the year, approximately.
Yes.
Well, there's more than that. There are more events than 20. I think there's 20 pending right now that are waiting to hear from us of whether or not they can move forward for next year.
But there might be 32 other weekends that are open.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And obviously in the winter, not so much, but sometimes on the weekend, there's two events. You have the one side of the road, and then you've got the other side of the road, so you can have two in one weekend. So.
Okay, thank you.
Chairwoman Bartel?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to suggest that we put together an immediate working group with representatives from the executive's office and representatives and interested members of the legislature, obviously paying attention to a quorum, but it'd be a public meeting. I mean, I think we should begin with having an internal conversation about sort of airing, because some of the questions, so you're raising, Legislator Nolan, different issues than I've heard over the years, and even than I thought of. For example, your example of demolition derby, you know, that's maybe, I don't want to suggest that I'm saying the vision of the fairgrounds is to have a demolition derby, but just for the sake of discussion.
That's a great moneymaker.
Let's say, as a legislative body, with the executive, we have a vision for the possibility of a demolition derby on the fairgrounds, but you haven't had the ability to invest in creating a space for it. We haven't articulated that dream. This is not my dream.
I think drag racing on Libertyville Road.
My point is that I think we need to air where deficiencies exist, if any, which are on us, not on you. I mean, it's based on the agreements that we've written and a historical change that went to the Ag Society, not just managing the fair, but managing the whole fairgrounds. I have to say that in every conversation I've had with any legislator over time, the fair is so rightly and closely associated with the Ag Society and with agriculture. No one can imagine those two things being separated.
And that's our mission.
And that's good. That's a good thing. I mean, it's a treasure of Ulster County to have this.
That kind of fair
like
that
a
you have there.
It's great. I don't think that's what's. But we need to determine what it is that we want to sit down at the table in a collaborative effort to talk about what's lacking. I also think there's a sense of urgency about this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can have this conversation. It's probably not going to be sorted out right now, but I don't see that we can get into some kind of RFP process right now for the next year when contracts are pending and a fair and et cetera. But
right.
let's have an internal conversation, and let's have a conversation with whomever, certainly Gary needs to be there, but whomever you think is appropriate, and let's start that dialogue sooner than later, because I don't think we can wait.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of where we're at with
I agree.
Agreement or not.
But on that logic, another 1 year contract pending, you know, something else coming into place within the next 6 months, let's say, might be to everybody's benefit. And I don't think we have anything else that we would be doing during that 1 year period.
Right.
So it's the same logic that led us to do this twice before, which isn't
behavior.
Good.
Yeah,
so I acknowledge that. But I think we've brought out a few other considerations that would be worth and a commitment to a process to really make it better from both sides over the next period of time. And I think getting that in place before we go to a much longer term does make sense.
Yes, Deputy Ryder?
Would the Ag Society be amenable to like a 5-year license for operating the fair? And then we would take time evaluating. I mean, although, or maybe a 1-year license for the entire fairgrounds, because you have these 20 events pending, or however many events pending, and then a 5-year license to operate the fairgrounds during the time of the fair, and that would give us time to evaluate this process moving forward.
I mean, I think there would have to be, again, sitting down all together collaboratively, that should we not be in charge of the fairgrounds after that year, there's going to have to be a lot of stipulations.
What else would change?
And what things would be appropriate.
Maintenance responsibility.
Right. You know, just
public
that,
works,
you know,
and
We would need to make sure that whoever would be utilizing the grounds in between has a working knowledge of what it needs to be for the fair. Mm-hmm. For example, the demolition derby. If you didn't know that you can't do a demolition derby in a horse ring, and somebody books a demolition derby and it doesn't go through the Ag Society, you know, there's just little nuances that would have to be obviously addressed in contract.
Chairwoman Bartow?
Create another layer.
Yeah, and I think if we're all having an open conversation in good faith, you know, where we're just really airing all these things, we're going to, you know, it may be that in the end we get to a place where all the concerns about someone being declined, which we don't even know if that's verified because Gary's not here, or some vision that the legislature or the executive has for the space, a la some alternative venue that isn't there now. I mean, all that stuff could be written in a long-term contract. It's just, I don't think that the county, let's just call it the county, whether it's the legislature or the executive, has ever articulated, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, has ever articulated to you what's lacking, what it is that we actually want to see, right? So it's like, we have this agreement for you to operate, and you're operating, and then all of a sudden, there comes a place where we're having conversations about things that are missing. I mean, I haven't been not in specific conversations, but this has happened, which is delayed the longer term agreements, but there's never been that back and forth saying, this is what we think is missing. This is where we need to change it. This is what the contract has to reflect. This is what we want to see happen there. And yeah. That's part of a good faith
right.
conversation.
Yeah.
So,
which is why we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes. I do know that, you know, my predecessor, mm-hmm. Bob Sudlow, and other commissioners, if not Tom, have had those discussions with Gary on some of the inadequacies that have occurred. And so I do know those conversations have happened.
So my concern is that the legislature at large doesn't know. You know, in terms of the specifics. So here, let's just move. I think if we all of that, if there's still important points that need to be addressed, we need to move past whatever hasn't happened and say, this is what we need, this is what we're thinking, this is what we need to address. Some might be big dreams, some might be deficiencies, but this is what we have to fix. And there may be a million ways to come at that, but I think we have to start by all sitting down in good faith and actually articulating. Mm-hmm. It's not,
oh, absolutely.
There's no more blame game. I think
yeah.
we just gotta,
yeah,
we
that,
gotta find
that
a way to get worried. To get the concerns yeah. addressed and get so that we can get through. I'm open to whatever discussion, but I almost can't imagine a circumstance, unfortunately, where we move forward without one more short-term agreement, because I can't imagine saying to you, you've got the fair, but you don't have everything else. What does that mean we're not going to have an Ulster County craft, the Woodstock Craft Fair?
That's
you know,
exactly
it's going to move somewhere
be.
Else,
yeah.
or we're not
mm-hmm.
going to have a Rib Fest
mm-hmm.
for 1 year. You know what I mean?
I
feel like
rest.
We have
well,
this
no, I mean,
one
I would,
year.
I would
we
agree a 1 year agreement
yeah.
has to be in place for the entire fairgrounds.
But when I say we need to commit to working, I mean
now.
Starting next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, like right now. Like the ideal would be that if there's a 1 year in place, before that year starts, we're already on our way to defining what we need longer term, because
mm-hmm.
it's, again, I take responsibility. I'm one of 23, and I let that year go, and then I let another year go, and then here it is October, we have to do something different.
And we'd like to be as involved in that process, however we can be involved in it,
mm-hmm.
so that all the sides are there.
Yeah, well,
right?
You're
going to
inform
you know,
a lot of it.
I mean, we could even start with a five-year plan. I mean, we have a lot of ideas of what we want to do, and I think really to get a five-year plan out, it wouldn't take us very long to do that.
And that would be a great
so,
starting
that's
point.
That's a great starting
too.
Point.
Yeah.
And it would also help to kind of define what you think your capacities are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of management, you know, you have a certain structure for handling what you handle. Is that the maximum that you can handle? Is it just what's comfortable so far? And look at what would require extra staffing if you wanted to do. You know, I think that it's good to have those planning conversations periodically, and if you've got another year that you can do those things that we've been doing, then we can enter into that more collaboratively. I think that when the fairgrounds started being managed year-round by the Agricultural Society, that kind of made it a separate entity in ways that and maybe that's where a lot of the rub would come. But it might be that that structure worked well or some other structure.
It's like renting an apartment or renting a house. Yeah. As a landlord, you kind of check on it every once in a while, make sure everything's good and any issues are fixed and things like that. But you're not putting a lot of thought into it as the year's going on,
right.
unless something happens.
But we get paid on the gross profits of everything around, everything that's not the fair.
Yes.
So it's not mm-hmm. exactly like we're just renting you a property, because we stand to gain if your functions
yeah.
are
mm-hmm.
more popular and you have more of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I think. I mean,
that's
I think
good.
They're all. I think it's all valid points to be discussed and things that would be included in any contract. Like we've just
mm-hmm.
we've just been basically renewing the same contract, right? So it's we have to articulate what our vision, we have to hear what your vision, and we have to come to an understanding of what we need, I think, for the space in short order. So,
and we do have a long-term planning committee that does meet. It's just sort of been backburnered over the past couple of years because we haven't known what our long-term is.
It's difficult to have a long-term
We do have a lot of ideas in the hopper.
Okay.
All right. And as you can see, there's still a New York State grants of about almost $300,000 available that we could put to use. And that's, I think, two of them are available now. Mm-hmm. One is in the works. So that's more that can be done with the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for
thank
coming.
You.
In.
Right. Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Who would I get? You know, we'll work on that 5-year capital plan. Who would I want to get that to?
Many.
Yeah. Yeah. Many. Okay.
I'm awful with names.
Here, I'll write it down for you.
Oh, great! That would even be better.
And you could see myself or Tom as well.
Okay. Yeah. I know Gary and I go into some of those meetings. I think it was once a month that Gary and I were starting to go. And I don't know if that was just a temporary thing that we had gone to.
We had two meetings.
Two?
Just while we were looking through the financials.
Okay.
And we were,
And this is something Legislator Nolan had brought up in the previous meeting about, you know, the quarterly reporting or monthly or whatever. I do apologize because, you know, it's like a repeat of last year and, you know, well, we need this why haven't we? And it all falls on the legislative body. So, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
I'm just
going to
have to run on the
back.
I know.
We
can
go
over here. This is not a priority.
That was a little difficult for you, was it?
Yes.
Looking back,
you're wrong too. Okay.
If they're going to make a subcommittee. Right.
Yeah. Should we, can we bring that up now about a subcommittee? Legislator Litz just offered. I would be interested.
I'd be interested.
Yeah.
I think that, and I think we need to I'd like to put it out to the legislative body and see what interest we could, you know, what interest we could get
up.
From, rather than it be a subcommittee, because already you have three members of this committee, so if you do a subcommittee
you
of this
might
committee,
want more
it's
of
actually
a
committee meeting, so you're already at quorum if the three of you, so, but if we put it out to the legislative body and hear back, you know, and just first see where there's interest and then also tap where, based on the committees where it makes sense, but I want to start with interest, but I'd like to make it happen soon, and I can have Vaughn take the lead on that and reach out to the legislative body tomorrow,
and
we'll set up a meeting with and having the executive the executive staff or representation at the table, and of course Buildings and Grounds Tom there as well, because I think we need to have this conversation sooner than later. And I think we should probably begin also by circulating the contract so that everyone can actually look at the contract.
Yep. Yeah,
then we can have a conversation and highlight, just starting with that, where there have been, because again, I've heard things here and there over time. But I would like to just sit down once we have a conversation, let's get them to the table too, and let's hear from Gary. Let's have a conversation all together about, put it all on the table.
I do have some concerns that I want to bring up that will be in the, like, if it's a quorum and it's a public meeting, that I'd like to go into executive session on about this contract.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's fine.
I didn't want to say anything tonight, I would like to be able to be frank. And I mean, we do have some concerns about operations.
Yeah. And I was just going to direct a question to you, but I guess I'll wait. Or we can go into executive session, but I think it's...
You would do this at our committee meeting?
Or at the subcommittee.
Whatever.
Yeah,
for
the
future.
I think it's just
the
legislative
the
working group. We'll just get... We'll schedule a meeting and we'll gauge interest. I can't imagine it'd be a... If it's a legislative working group, I can't imagine it's going to be a quorum of the legislature. So we should be fine to have an internal meeting first where it's an internal working group on the contract. That's appropriate to have an internal meeting. But then in short order, I think we should be working toward actually having a conversation with the Ag Society. Mm-hmm. And Gary needs to be there.
All right.
Okay. All right, moving forward, we've got resolutions. Resolution number 416, establishing a policy for consideration of solar arrays on all new or renovated replaced roofs on Ulster County buildings.
I'll make a motion for discussion.
Okay, second?
I'll second.
Okay. Legislator Litz.
I'd also like to make an amendment to the wording. Where did I see the wording?
And I did have, this is not the same as the original resolution that was sent out. I had given leeway to the clerk to, you know, clean it up. And I think in the final resolve where it says as feasible, that's a concern for me. I would like to take your suggestions, and then also after speaking with the chairwoman, hear a motion to postpone it, but probably all over the place with this.
The wording has changed, so
it has.
My original wording was after shall.
Where are you?
Well, it's in the old one.
What? Whereas.
In the resolve?
In the resolve. It would have been the resolve.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. After the word shall, put require an engineering feasibility and cost study for, and then it would say all new roofs, renovated roofs, county-owned buildings.
Okay.
So instead of explore and consider in the new resolution, mm-hmm. the first resolve, instead of explore and consider engineering all new and... Why not ask for an engineering feasibility and cost study?
Yeah.
Would that imply an external engineering feasibility and cost study, or it could still be done internally?
As long as it's
done by... It could be done internally.
As long as it's done by an engineer.
But, so then you're building in a cost with something that I've understood the department to be offering to do without that cost. So...
Well,
what is the benefit that would come from that cost?
My belief is that we're instituting a policy that we consider solar arrays on all new and renovated or replaced roofs on the Ulster County on Ulster County buildings. So, if we're going to do work, if we're going to have a new roof or a renovated roof, or we're going to replace a roof, an engineer is going to design that work. Mm-hmm. And one of his functions would be
his or her
would be to do an engineering feasibility and cost study in order to put, and this is very similar to what was done for the family court. A feasibility study was done and it was deemed not to be feasible due to the cost and the amount of work that was required for that roof to hold solar panels. For, I mean, if you're going to put it on a shed roof, obviously the engineer is going to say it won't support it. That's a very easy determination for them to make. If it's going to be on this building, obviously he would have to run numbers on structural suitability and cost for putting an array on this roof. But I think that satisfies the intent of the policy, that a determination be made whether solar can or cannot, whether it's feasible or not, to put on a roof that is going to be... This does not say we're going to go out and study every roof. We're only going to do it for roofs that will be new, renovated, or replaced. So that's part of the design function for whatever capital project is going to entail for the roof work.
I'm looking for the original language. Okay.
Okay. I mean, if we are requiring an outside, like basically a structural feasibility study, let's say we're redoing the roof on the Ulster County Courthouse, I'm not sure that we would be even able to put a solar array on that building, given it's in a historical whatever district, but mm-hmm. we would then, with that language, be required to have a feasibility study. And with the language that's there right now, we are considering it, and if we're considering it, and we believe that it's feasible, then we can go through and have a structural feasibility study. And I get that maybe administrations change and you're setting an overarching policy, so maybe you don't want to leave it up. But I mean, my guess is that anytime we do a new roof, we're going to look at it at least to see feasibility.
Yes.
So then in the second resolve, when it says a determination has been made, who makes that determination?
Yeah, I'm okay. Chairwoman Bartel, and then because I think it's getting convoluted just because mm-hmm. the last two resolves are not what was in the original, mm-hmm. the original resolution that I submitted, which basically said that all roofs shall be engineered in such a way to support solar.
Ooh.
And then speaking, you know, I don't want to speak for you, but we would have added an exception clause. But I'll let Chairwoman Bartel speak to that.
Yeah, I first want to thank Legislator Petit for getting something on paper. We've been talking about this for a long time, and without something on paper, it's a thing that, similar to our last conversation, that gets away from us. And then here we are on a project, and we say, and Legislator Green's not here, but... It's usually Legislator Green that says, and what about solar on the roof? And we're already out to bid, and it's already too late. And yes, we did have a feasibility study on the courthouse building, but that study, with no disrespect, is exactly why I respectfully asked Legislator Petit if she was willing to postpone this so that we could work on from... It may be something that's less palatable to people, but I'd mm-hmm. like something that's more binding. Maybe something that doesn't say shall be structured to, that everything's going to be structured to hold it, but I'd almost like to see, and I haven't fully thought it out yet, but something that says basically that all new or renovated roofs, let me just throw it out there for a second, will have solar. And if they're not, for whatever reason, that some alternative, almost like mitigating wetlands. You know, if you're going to mitigate mm-hmm. wetlands, you got to create a wetland somewhere else. So if you're not going to put solar on the roof because you can't, because it's too expensive, because it's historical, you are going to show the legislature where you're capturing that, where you're offsetting the greenhouse gas somewhere else. We all know, I'll channel Legislator Green, we're in a climate crisis. You know, we know the goals that the state set, and I was just at that climate summit where they talked about how rooftop solar is just one tiny fraction of what's going to have to be done. And so we in Ulster County, when we talk about, it's essentially based off of your resolution, Legislator Nolan, coming off of the executive's plan, we know that the vast amount of our footprint is our fleet and our buildings. Mm-hmm. So I'm for adding the teeth that Legislator Petit had before, and then some, but allowing an out, but saying we're going to strive to this highest level, and we're not going to figure that out right now at this table. But that's what I'd like to work with Legislator mm-hmm. Petit to come back by next month with language that this committee can talk about, and the executive staff can give push, because we know that the final arbiter is always finances, right? That's what it ends up coming to. I mean, it ends mm-hmm. up being about, do we have the money to do it? If we could make everything, we'd have an all-electric fleet, and we'd all be powered by solar, and everything would be...
We'd all be driving Teslas.
Yeah, yes. But there are limitations, and it's taxpayer dollars, so let's figure out how we set the goal for all future administrations pretty high, and how we allow for some room.
So I have several considerations, and
that was the only word
it could all be, I guess, addressed in reworking this. But it seems to me that we don't have that many county buildings, and so maybe we should just go do these studies on all of them now, and make the policy for new buildings, and then it's a much simpler policy to write. But I think we're already doing a flex tech study, which is partly designed to give us some of this information, and I would like to know before we, you know, have a very strict, complicated policy, whether or not we could just get this information through a simpler means. And I'm not sure that we should be focusing just on rooftop solar. I mean, rooftop, we already have a couple of, you know, big solar arrays at sites where it makes sense. So trying to force them onto old or historic buildings because they have a roof, to me, is kind of being a little short-sighted about how to do solar and whether we should be doing, in some of these buildings, air source heat pumps or some other kind of thing, which is then, again, takes me back to that FlexTech study.
And that would be addressed in the kind of exception, and we could work it out in the kind of exception that I'm talking about. In an instance where the study or the look at the roof said, you know, this is actually not going to be such a return. Instead, we're going to do a green roof. Instead, we're going to do what you're talking about, heat pump. Instead, it's just we're not going to walk away and say we're not going to do this because we don't have the money, so we're not going to do anything. We're just going to move on to the next project. That's my concern.
Deputy Ryder?
I like the idea of an exception, and what I would point to is that we're about to double, you know, within the next year, the amount of solar electricity that we produce when we build out the Siska tire dump, which will bring us up to 40% probably within the next 3 or 4 years. My guess would be we have 3 other projects. Those type of projects are done at no cost to the county. So when we look at like the expense that it would take, and one of those projects is more than if we put solar on every single roof, which I know, you know, we said not many, but there's about 40 or so buildings in the county. So studying each of those, when you talk about the substations and all of the other buildings, and potentially a 400 square foot over and off of Boyce's Lane in the town of Ulster, maybe a roof that we have to worry about in the near future, who knows? But I just think that, you know, our focus is on ground right now, and I get it that we want to try to consider, you know, the rooftop, but we're about to potentially do something probably with the roof at the law enforcement center. I think that we will look at the feasibility of doing solar on that, and going forward, I'm happy to. I would hate to have a policy that all of a sudden, 3 or 4 years from now, we have 100% of our electricity that we're producing through these ground solar arrays, and we're still looking at incurring additional expenses by putting them on the roof. So that's my own.
Yeah. Did you have your hand up before? Okay. Legislator Litz?
Okay. Just to reiterate one more time, that's why I think my amendment makes sense. Because you're not doing it for all the buildings. You're only going to do it for buildings that you're going to work on. So if you're going to work on the jail roof, you would do this. I mean, it's no different than any other project we do. If you're going to do a bridge or you're going to do a section of road, there's alternatives. Alternate A, alternate B, alternate C, and they all have a cost with it. And then you pick the best alternative. And one of them is the null alternative. And that could be utilized here. If the roof cannot support it, or it's not the best thing to do, for whatever engineering reason, you pick the null alternative. It would be part of a design report that we're going to get anyway. It's just one other thing in the design report. One might be the traffic study, one might be, you know, level of service, and the other one might be whether it's feasible, and a preliminary cost estimate on what it would cost to put solar on a roof.
So then
it could be the null alternative or whatever.
And how much in general would those incremental costs be on the bid that you're putting out?
Well, I would say for that 40 square foot shed roof, it would probably be just a statement in there that this is not the proper location for a solar roof on a shed that's 40 feet that will not support the load. That's two sentences, probably cost an engineer $12 to write that, I don't know.
and the county 2,000.
Yeah.
But if it's the roof of, I'm going to abstain from voting on a couple of different resolutions because my company did a study of all the HVAC for all the county. They paid for that study. Why? Because they want to know the best places to invest county money that's most effective.
So here's what I come down to on this. Let's get the square footage of all the rooftops of the 40 buildings and then commit to figuring out how to use that 200,000 square feet best for solar. And my guess is that just off the top, it's going to be to put it on the ground of something that the county owns. Because the ground doesn't have, the ground is solid. We don't have to do that study to find out. So I do think we should put solar on other buildings where we can, or do something else up there, maybe paint the roofs white. Painting roofs white could reduce energy consumption and might be, or a green roof, but the green roofs often require some solidity as well. So what I would like is for this to just, let's dig down into this a little bit more. For one thing, we have climate smart and we have energy smart commitments, and they're, we should have those separated out in here and what each of them do. But my sense is that the department's already doing this, which doesn't mean we shouldn't have a policy. It just means we should have a policy at least as smart as what they're doing, which is they're not getting this kind of study on a shed, and we shouldn't.
Are you going to make a motion to postpone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Legislator Fabiano?
I think with all the discussion here and a lot of confusion here, I think the best thing to do tonight would be to postpone this.
I'll second that. You took my motion away from me.
Oh.
Yeah, I make a motion to
postpone
it, because all we're doing here is spinning our wheels.
Okay. So there's a motion on the table. I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So moved.
Do you know if Legislator Maloney will accept that postponement, or if it's over his objection?
I will speak with him. I think as long as we're having good conversation and we're moving forward.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Next, resolution number 423, amending capital project 529, purchase of mass transit buses and related equipment, and amending the 2019 capital fund budget. Do I hear a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion? No? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Okay, Legislator Litz is handling the paperwork for you.
Yeah.
All right. Resolution 428, amending capital project 482, countywide radio system, Department of Emergency Communications and Emergency Management.
I'll move
your motion.
It.
Second.
For discussion, I think I had requested
Saugerties Tower site. You'd ask
it's
what?
Saugerties, where? Yeah, where?
Where? And it was the Saugerties Tower site is what they're. And this is moving money from the operating budget that was a grant into the capital project. And the equipment's going up in Saugerties Tower site for the interoperability.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question that this group may not know, and maybe it needs to go to Steve Peterson, but is there any chance that some of the countywide emergency system build-out could be incorporated into any of the local communications through, for example, co-location of antenna on any of the counties?
We're designing these towers to allow for additional antenna. So whether that is, you know, leasing space to the different cellular companies or whatnot, we're designing these towers so that they hold more than just our equipment.
Okay. And is there somebody you can point me to talk about what that would mean out in the rural areas like the district that I represent?
Yeah, I think I had asked, or we had talked about having Steve come in and do a presentation on the entire interoperability. So
Could we do that maybe in
we'll
November?
We'll do that in the next month or two.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Okay, can we get him on the agenda for next month?
Yeah,
Steve Peterson.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution 433, establishing capital project number 552, SUNY Ulster, Kingston Center Roof Safety Improvement, and amending the 2019-2024 capital budget. Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Yep. Second. I think my question is, it seems awfully high. Now, I'm just experienced with ground railing and not anything that would be fall protection, but it was under
$7,000?
$7,000 to install grade 8 steel.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
It's 110 linear feet.
114.
Okay. Do you have any discussion
on it?
It's
$90,000
for 100 and whatever. We'll put it at 15 linear feet of railing.
Was it bid?
Bid.
Can we do it in 10,000 pounds?
Yes. It's not strictly a rail.
While this is representatives complying with OSHA, it is a very real safety concern for our workers that don't now have this and have to move up on a regular basis on this move.
Do they go up first solar?
HVAC.
HVAC.
Mm-hmm. They go up for maintenance purposes.
It does seem, yeah. It wasn't the safety issue. Absolutely not. It was more the cost.
How many people did on it?
It was it's 144, not 114.
Oh, I thought they got that.
144 feet with 15 single attachment plates.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there was another word.
$45,000 to be reimbursed to the New York State Dormitory Authority too. So the county cost is only half that.
Yeah, it's still a cost. It's a cost. It's a different pocket.
Yeah, depending upon what the design features are, if there's that ramping that tells you that you're getting close to an area, it may not just be a fence that you put in the ground. So if it went out to bid and this is what it came back at, I'd say...
How many bids?
The S&O contract below or no?
Yeah.
It's the S&O contract?
No, that's not it.
These
prices were based off of quotes. I'm not sure if we went out to bid yet. Yeah.
This is just establishing the capital.
The budget.
Yes. So this is an estimated cost.
I believe so, yes.
So it's a not to exceed
cost. Yeah. Although we would be bonding.
This is the college.
We'd be bonding.
I can tell you we supplied her with quotes for the work. I'm not sure if she did a bid all for those quotes, but the estimates did come in bid on this price based off the quotes we got.
So we don't have to go
out
to...
Were the quotes kind of clustered here, or were they spread all over the place?
I don't remember.
We did the buses, right?
Yes.
Hmm. So did it go out to bid, or did it not?
Sounds
go?
Like no.
We
but don't know because Jamie
90,
would have done it.
Right, but it's $90,000.
It would have to.
That's over the threshold.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. For sure, the contracts are going to have to come to you guys anyway. I would imagine. Well, I mean, it's $150,000. Depending on what vendors get how much.
Chairwoman Bartel?
Is there any way, I mean, could we get, could you get back to us with both confirm whether or not it went out to bid or whether it was just quotes and if it went out to bid,
how
many bids
no
there were, and
this,
provide the specs. The specs aren't in here,
there's
right?
There's no backup in it.
Yeah,
no.
The only backup we had is something from the Board of Trustees from SUNY Ulster with a resolution authorizing the 50-50. Do you have that?
Mm-hmm.
It will go to Ways and Means,
so
and I can make sure that Jamie provides something to Nettie prior to that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to hold it up, but I mean, I would be in no in Ways and Means if we didn't have the additional information.
I can reach out to Jamie tomorrow.
So I would support moving it through this committee and let Ways and Means deal with the financial issue.
Since you're on Ways and Means,
you can
shepherd it. In the interim,
if we could get it, it does seem. Yes.
I mean, I guess when we see specs, but now that you bring it, I know that you brought this up in the leadership meeting. Too.
Yes.
I mean, when I think through 140 linear feet, I'd be curious. It may be that we see specs, and it's, as you say, some complicated design.
Gold leaf.
Yeah, it's like it could be. But that works out to 600 and something.
And if indeed we have a.
Cheaper than steel.
It
also
right
says it's
coated
and has to meet.
Yeah, the OSHA compliance.
Yeah.
So we're moving it.
No, I don't have any concerns about protecting our folks from falling, but it's the price.
All right.
So
we'll leave it up the Ways and Means.
Okay. All right. So I'll call the vote.
Aye.
All
aye.
In favor? Any opposed? Okay.
Prevailing wage.
All right, and we'll get more information at the next meeting. Okay, what have we got next? 435?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, $6,000 per bolt hole.
That's what I'm worried about.
That's why
That's why I had referred
to him. We could have used panels from the Tappan Zee or the bridge rail. Nobody wanted it.
For free.
We're still with the panels.
I asked and you said they were gone.
I recall a conversation saying, okay, bring it on.
Okay.
I said I'd find something.
I know. You got to go.
Nope, too late.
You should put your application in.
So we're moving forward. Resolution number
35.
I'm just going to keep on talking. Amending the 2019-2024 capital improvement budget, establishing capital project number 549, replacement HVAC at Information Services 25 South Manor, amending the 2019 capital fund budget. Do I hear a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Is this the one you had to recuse? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Because?
My company did the engineering for the HVAC.
Okay. Any discussion on this? No? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
One abstention.
One abstention. Legislator Litz. Resolution 437, authorizing application for a grant from the Catskill Watershed Corporation for the Maltby Hollow Bridge Replacement Project in the town of Olive, and authorizing the execution of any associated grant funding agreements with CWC.
I will move it.
Okay, second.
I'll second it.
I'd like to have my name added to this.
Okay. Now, CWC, I was looking at their, because I was concerned about qualifications. Initially it was impressive, and then I saw someone had a background in psychology, did we also go out to bid for this organization?
Accepting a grant, or an application for a grant from CWC. You want to explain this?
Application. It has the explanation of what the project is. The proposal is to replace the Maltby Hollow Bridge because it's not at capacity to handle a 100-year storm, and it is if the bridge went out, it would be a 60-mile detour for the people that are otherwise stranded by this. So the concept is to upgrade the bridge to withstand a 500-year storm, and also to withstand debris lodging at the bridge up to a 50% capacity of the opening. It would still handle a 100-year storm. So that's the ultimate replacement.
And I can explain a little bit about this. I believe that this money is probably from the DEP, that a lot of the monies that come to deal with these local flood hazard analysis projects are DEP money that go to the CWC, and then the CWC administers them. So it's a very common way to administer them. It's a fair point about looking at the CWC. The county does have representation on it, and it should be updated. But I don't think it has relevance to this particular resolution.
We're applying for a grant from them. So,
from
I mean, we're not...
them. Okay,
right.
So this the bridge project that was, it was submitted by Patrick Ryan to them for funding.
Right.
Okay.
We're hoping that they would fund.
Okay.
On the recommendation of the Town of Olive, who did...
Thank you.
Studies that were also funded probably by the Ashokan Watershed Stream Management, if I'm remembering correctly, but that money may have gone through CWC as well, because sometimes it's one and sometimes it's the other. But it's a wonderful program that's helping us out there where we get hit hard by these storms.
Yeah,
it helps us in a big way.
We've got a lot of water in this county.
Yes, we do.
Chairman.
Yeah, I mean,
Chairman.
I think it's important that we look at these kinds of projects and have this kind of forward thinking, because it's interesting, we talk about these as 100-year storms and we know that they're not 100-year storms anymore. So we're still using an antiquated language to describe something that's
happening every 5 years.
Yeah. And I can't imagine a 16-mile detour, what that would mean. Mm-hmm. So assessing and analyzing and constantly trying to get ahead of that, I think, is critically important. And when we can do that with grant funding, that's great. But I appreciate that we're doing it all the time, even without grant funding.
And that is being done. I mean, in ASOPIS, whenever we look at replacing something, you know, that's the first thing the highway superintendent brings up. But as a county, we do that. We just don't replace the bridge as is.
Mm-hmm.
We're engineering it to withstand and making it further out in case
higher
we do lose
projects.
Banks.
Right. Pedestrian areas, yeah.
Wherever
yeah.
possible.
More and more we are. There are some instances in which bridges got money through other programs that didn't require this sort of analysis and were built to replace what was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just spent a whole bunch of money, and you know
have
that
the same
it,
thing
it was,
happened again.
It's
yeah.
going to
exactly.
happen the same thing. So the Ashokan Watershed Stream Management and the Roundout Neversink Stream Management Program have helped these communities do these local flood analysis, and I've sat in on multiple ones, and it's amazing because it's great engineering. It's not done in terms of 100-year floods and all that. It's done in terms of you know, the number of people and buildings impacted by LIDAR measured and stream modeled, and it's
yeah.
really impressive. And then when we can get it funded like this, it's just yes. Take the money
and
go
run.
Do this project, but we should look. As I say, the county does have a couple of seats on the Casco Watershed Corporation, and we don't get regular reporting back to the county from any of those representatives. And we should either get that or look at having new representatives.
Who are our seats currently?
Rich Parody, and I'm not sure who the other one is. I think maybe Tim Cox from Olive.
Was that your question?
No, I was just also going to comment that I've seen some of the studies that the Ashokan Watershed Stream Management Program has done, and I saw it when I was on the board of Soil and Water, you know, through the partnership
mm-hmm.
that was happening. And I was pretty amazed. You know, they were doing projections for these kinds of floods, and they were really strategizing, not just in terms of improvements to infrastructure, but also really explaining to people that are in that floodplain that there's a benefit to selling your
mm-hmm.
house and moving, and trying to incentivize that kind of common sense, because it's yeah we're all going to be facing it more and more, I think. So
all right.
I'm glad that it's still happening.
Okay, did we call? We didn't call the vote on
no.
that.
Yeah.
I will call the vote on this. All in
aye.
Favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
All abstain.
One abstention. Legislator Lips. Okay, last resolution. Hang in there, Dean. Resolution 440.
No, we're going to go back to talking about the fairgrounds.
That's right.
Sorry.
Approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with S&O Construction Services, Inc. Motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Do we have any questions, any discussion?
This is the contract coming out of Resolution 435.
Okay. So you'll also be abstaining on this one? Okay.
Yeah, I will be.
All right. So not hearing any discussion, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'll abstain.
One abstention, Legislator Litz. Okay. Everybody's packing up. New business. Old business.
Oops.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Everybody
All right,
got
thank
their
invitation
to the budget presentation tomorrow.